Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island and also the Game Brain podcast. Go check out and subscribe to both those things. And joining me is a man who's so hilarious. He is also the co-host of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast for all your bachelor and bachelorette and bachelorettes who sing about love shows. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on?
Well, hi, Ben.
How's it going? How was your weekend?
It was good. I have a sugar hangover. I ate so much. I only stuck to my diet for 2 days out of seven.
Oh, that's okay. It's a fresh start today.
Not really. Maybe tomorrow.
No. Well, listen, a sugar hangover, it happens to the best of us. It happens on the weekends. I think I know I had something bad to eat this. I had McDonald's on Friday. See, I had McDonald's on Friday, and then I had Fat Sal's last night. So, see, I'm a partner in arms with you in terms of bad eating. Yeah.
Yay, diet. We'll have diabetes 1, 2, and 5 together, Bean.
Well, it's appropriate that we're talking about food today, because today is our Top Chef recap. It's our penultimate episode of the season, and we will be getting into that shortly. Before we talk about that, we want to give a shout-out to some Black-owned businesses, so everyone can support some Black-owned businesses. Ronnie, why don't you start?
Okay, I'm going to start. That was terrible.
Oh, no.
So sorry.
Big announcement.
Whoa, sorry. You know what? I'm running this podcast now, okay? It's good old-fashioned Ramona Sharp. I'm going to start with Valencia Key Design. Sorry to open up your black business that way. I'm a monster. Go support this business. She is a black-owned female jewelry business. She was featured on QVC recently. And you can find her at valenciakey.com. Or if you're on El Instagram, you can find her at Valencia Key Design. Beautiful stuff. I'm scrolling through right now. Really, yeah. Really pretty stuff.
I think we actually gave her a shout out the other day, but it doesn't even matter because why not? Everyone just go check out Valencia Key. And here's another one we actually already shouted out, but we're just going to give extra love. Giving extra love all around today. This is for Avala All Natural Skincare. Their products consist of body oil, hand sanitizer, body wash, beard oil, hair oil, CBD body oil, and soy wax candles. I think we all need at least one of those things. They're awesome. They are available at www.avala.com. That's AVALAH.com. And on social media at AVALAH Beauty, at Avala Beauty. So go check them out because everyone needs body wash, right?
Yes, and also in that realm is B Birdwatcher. She does jewelry and watches, spiritual stones, mind, body, stones. You can find her on Instagram at B Birdwatcher. And let me see here. Is there a website here? No, just find her on Instagram. You'll find her stuff. Real pretty beadwork here. And that's that. So today is Top Chef.
Top Chef. I just want to say real quickly, if you have a black-owned business that you want us to give a shout-out to, just email us at watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com and put in the subject, like black small business, black-owned business, just black in business. So that way we type in search terms, that way we can weed it out of all the other emails, and that way we can give it a shout-out. Okay?
Okay.
Kai.
Here we go.
Whoa. Top Chef. Kai. Wait, one more announcement, Ronnie. Can I make one more?
I felt like you had something else in you. Could you hear my pause? It's like, yeah. Go on, Ben.
I forgot to mention this. So we have the official numbers from our fundraiser for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. We raised $914.69. And then Ronnie and I both sort of matched and rounded up with $2,000 each. So we donated, the Crapitz community donated a total of $2,914.69. So thank you very much to everyone who participated in that. It's really super, super awesome.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. Well, put your... Did you mean to put money instead of Parmesan Reggiano in my mouth?
Did you mean to put your mouth where my money was, Gail? What, did these dollars look like they had chocolate on them or something?
Gail, you know, it's Padma's new show premieres this Thursday, so I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm very excited. I'm excited for Padma to continue on, even though Top Chef is ending this week.
Oh, yeah. Padma will always continue on, even in our hearts, you know?
Yeah.
Even in like 20 years from now, Padma will still be there. Even if I'm hooked to some machine, she'll be like, did you mean to go beep, 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 like Gail backing up in a Kmart? Come on.
Near, far, wherever you are, Gail's hunger will go on. Am I right? Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
This was my favorite set of previouslys because it featured Kevin prominently going, I'm so excited to go into the finale with the bang. The last four competitors I have to face are the toughest of all time.
As a child who was raised on an airplane, I understand what it means to aim for the heights.
Well, congratulations to the four of you left. You each now have a 1 in 4 chance to win something furnished by San Pellegrino. But before a winner can be crowned, we're sending you to one last journey.
And before you go on that journey, I'd like all of you to appreciate the fact that I'm wearing a giant red jacket full of fur that looks sort of like Monsters, Inc., or as I like to call it, Gale Incorporated.
In order to truly understand your journey, you need a food tour of the capital of food culture. Gail, why are you here? This isn't your scene, and I'm not talking about Carl's Jr. Get back into your trailer.
Our friends at San Pellegrino are sending you on a food tour in the Italian capital of culture for 42020. Yes, I'm just going to say random numbers, and then I'm just going to say Parma.
Parma is the inventor of Parmesan cheese, Parmesan ham, basically anything Gail sleeps with at night.
Exacto.
Tom's like, their cheese is so special. It's protected by the government. What do you think of that?
Yeah, yeah. These ingredients are considered masterpieces of Italian cooking, and you can actually only get them from this region of Italy. I guess that's just what happens when you do something so special and wonderful with your life that an entire government decides to go out of its way to applaud you. Unfortunately, we have not seen that happen to any mixologists, but, you know, dare to dream.
Well, let me see what I'm saying here. You will go on tour with Chef Lorenzo, the youngest chef in history to be honored with a Michelin star.
And he's partnering with our friends at San Pellegrino on a special product called Infusion to help spurn creativity and new ideas here in Italy. Those same sort of ideas that go horribly awry when they turn into patterns on Gail's dresses.
Wait for it. There's a peacock coming up. Spoiler alert. Sorry, should I have said that before?
Look at that adorable peacock walking around the corner. Oh, wait, it's just Gail coming back from the water fountain.
Katie's scary over there.
You know what's funny is I never realized that my good friends Jonathan Waxman and David Chang and Ali Wog all work at San Pellegrino. I mean, that's why we say our friends, right?
In this elimination, you'll be each responsible for 2 dishes using 2 of the most ingredients in the world. No, Gail, not mayonnaise and crackers. Please let me just get through this, peacock lady. Using prosciutto di Parma and cheeserino Cheez-Its di Parma. I forgot it. Just add it in later. Just add it in editing.
Add it in post. Add it in post. You'll be serving your dishes to the most esteemed chefs in Italy. And no, Gail, that does not include the Hamburglar. No. I want you to be a sponge. Please suck in every piece of information you can, all right? Now, would anyone like to turn that into a Gale joke? Because they're just too easy sometimes.
I was going to use cheese curds, but that's not really appropriate.
Anyway, it looks like Gail is being a sponge to a piece of potato right now, so let's move on.
Gail, did you just pull that out of the ground? The mushroom challenge was last week, Gail, okay? Listen, everybody, we'd like to thank Gail, our famous celebrity potato hunter.
Gail likes to call them Canadian truffles.
So they go to the cheese factory, and we get beautiful shots of Italy and, you know, big signs that say cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And Lorenzo, they meet up with this guy. They go to Parma, and they meet up this guy, this Lorenzo, this guy who won all these Michelin stars. And he is, like, super awake. He's been up for 4 hours or something, because he's like, "Buongiorno, guys! I'm Lorenzo, your tour guide!" I'm like, oh, my God. I'm fully awake, and I'm still not awake enough for this guy right now.
Yeah, I think he's got that attitude of, like, a young person who's way ahead of these other chefs, but he has to, like, take them on a tour of his town, so he's trying to be nice, but it's, like, too nice. It's, like, look down on you nice, you know?
Yeah.
Because he keeps going, like, "Buongiorno! Now, what do you think? What are your ideas?" But he says it in a way, like, "What are your ideas? Non-Michelin star owner?"
Yeah, seriously. So, they go into, like, a Parmesan, I guess, factory, or it's not a factory, it's like a Parmesan.
Yeah, it's a factory. It's a factory. They call it a factory.
All right, the Parmesan factory, which sort of sounds like a board on Super Mario Brothers, but so there's a lot of, like, chow, 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 and they have to put on hair nuts and blue coveralls, and a lady who works there is like, "Parma has been declared the city of gastronomy, but not the city of fashion," and Kevin's like, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." I'm like, you know what, it wasn't that funny of a joke, Kevin, relax. Give a nice,
finally,
polite smile.
A city Gail can feel comfortable in. Sorry, I'll get out of this scene now.
Ooh, Gail, look, they made outfits just for you. Blue coveralls, or as we call them, blue cover gals.
Wow, they've made entire outfits out of nappies.
I'd like to see you try to clean some potato out of that thing.
So she's like, "We make 80 wheels per day. There are only 3 ingredients: milk, or meat, and wheat."
Yeah. And then Stephanie is like, "I've never been to a cheese factory." "And you've never been to Italy either, you simpleton. Sorry, I'll go back to my town now."
"I've been to paradise, but have I ever been to cheese? All right, I'll be in the van, everybody, if you need me."
Bad was just lingering around the corner, just like mocking them, tormenting them from around the side of the door. I told my dear friend Lena Waithe that if she comes to Italy, we can stand by the door of the Parmesan factory and mock all the stupid people inside. It's so fun.
And Voltaggio is like, "Oh, this is my roots. This is where I came from."
And Voltaggio's thing is to walk into rooms this episode and say, "Wow, the aroma is amazing." Because like every room is, it's like every room is like,
"Wow." I wrote that down too. Everywhere he walks into, it's like, "Whoa, the aroma. Wow.
The aroma is amazing." "Brian, I hope you enjoy the aroma in this cheese factory. Your brother Michael said he liked the aroma at an even better cheese factory down the road that we didn't take you to."
The cheese factory, otherwise known as Gale Breath when you're sitting next to her on the plane.
So then they basically go into this vault, this like giant Parmesan cheese vault, and it's amazing, of course. And the workers like pull a wheel down, and they sort of like put it on its side, and they put these little sort of like knifey things in there, and they wedge it open, they sort of cut it open, and so the Parmesan wheel opens up, and so then all the chefs are like, they're like clapping, like as if it was like a magic trick, which admittedly I would do too. But for some reason, there was something kind of like, I think it was just me getting mad at Kevin clapping over cheese.
Yeah, Kevin was super excited. God, he was really excited around the dead pig area. Like, okay, oh, Kevin, yeah. Jesus Christ, so morose. So the lady's like, "This cheese is 15 years old." And I was like, has this lady been in my refrigerator? Why do I feel so judged?
I know. I was like, no, I don't feel so bad about that wedge of Parmesan I have back there.
And Kevin just keeps eating it, and he is like doing stage eating, you know, where he's like an extra in Oklahoma trying out the corn in the back, you know. He's like, that's just indescribable.
Yeah, he's like one of the people in like the jury box in Night Court, you know. It's like, okay, we see you, extra, we see you. I wrote down Kevin emoting hard over it because he's just eating that Parmesan just so aggressively, like big eye blinks and like giant chomps of the mouth.
Yeah, Lorenzo's like, oh, this cheese, it's like a boomer. And then Melissa's like, wow, I grew up with that nasty grated Parmesan cheese. This is the opposite. It's been sitting on the shelf 15 years. It's delicious. So then Kevin's like, oh my God, we're going to give the cheese. Who's going to cut the cheese? Who's going to cut it? Who is going to cut the cheese?
I don't know how to feel about it because that big wheel of Parmesan sure looks like a lolly, but it's not a lolly, Grandpa.
Voltaggio's like, I'll cut the cheese. He's like, you're going to cut the cheese. So then the next destination
they're going to go to Ham, and Kevin's like, I'm excited to cook with Parmigiano Reggiano. We got a whole wheel of it, and we got the good stuff. I'm like, ew. So, like, are you, like, Malarkey now? Is this what's happening? Malarkey's gone, so his, like, spirit had to, like, now infuse Kevin's body? Because now he's talking like Malarkey, too.
No, this is the point in the season where nobody is left, and so they really concentrate on their, like, you see their personalities more, you know.
Yeah.
And people like Stephanie, it's good because she's really funny. She's got a lot of humor and stuff, which isn't really that evident in a lot of the other episodes this season. But then it leaves us Voltaggio and this guy.
Yeah. So then they go to a place called Rulliano, where Idina Menzel meets up with them and is basically saying, like, Rulliano is a family-owned business who has been producing top-quality prosciutto since 1949. I don't know why I wrote that down. It's literally...
Because she's so the lady who runs marketing. She's like, I'm Sylvia from marketing. Welcome to the family-owned business, top quality from 1949. Ever since then, the grass is green, the sky is blue, the ham is salt. It's like, okay, marketing, calm it down over there.
Thank you for inviting us into this media activation of yours.
Thanks for the branding meeting, Sylvia.
So then Kevin says, pretty much the most annoyingly, Kevin thinks he could... I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you do this. I can't even bother. I can't.
This place has things Kevin Gillespie finds very endearing. We're in the middle of nowhere. We have ham available. Blonde wood!
Like, please stop. Please stop. So they walk into, like, the ham locker, and Voltaggio immediately goes, wow, the aroma in here is amazing.
I wrote, he finds aromas hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, you take that guy into a Bed Bath and Body Works, Bath and Body Works or whatever. He's just like rolling on the floor laughing. They're like, is that guy okay over there?
It's like, hey,
Peach, what an aroma.
Hey, Brian, did you check out that new Dave Chappelle special? No, but I did open up a can of peanut butter.
Now, guys, I know I've been vegetarian for 5 minutes, okay? I'm not, like, marching in any vegan marches or, like, you know, going after any factories or anything like that. But they're chucked with horse bone. I mean, come on. I think even the nicest person has to think, wow.
Wait, what
happened to all the horses?
Wait, what do you mean chucked with horse bones?
They said that once they get the meat, they wrap it around a horse bone. Like, that's what's in the center of it.
I
have heard that wrong? Yes. Did I rewind it 3 times? Yes. I don't know. Sometimes I hear things wrong, but
horses,
I'm pretty sure.
Horses do die, Ronnie. They do die on their own.
So you think they're just waiting around, you know, for their huge factory for horses to die? No, I think they're out there killing horses. I don't like it, okay?
I think, listen. Have you ever been to the Santa Anita racetrack? They got horses dying like every single day. I think there is a Santa Anita racetrack to Italy pipeline that's going on for all those prosciutto bones. That's what I'm saying.
God, wow! This horse bone tastes untalented enough to live to die. So Gross. No, I don't like
Santa,
it.
Santa Anita actually does have a, they do have a horse problem. Like, their horses keep dying. It's a little fucked up. I think it's Santa Anita. It's not
There's
Santa
a lot
Anna.
Of horse abuse. They were going to have that show on HBO about horse racing. Wait, actually, did it come out? Maybe
no,
it did come
out. No, it was going to be a Michael Mann show with, I think, Al Pacino or something like that. Maybe not Al Pacino, but yeah, it was going to be, they were going to film it, I think, up there at that racetrack, right? And then they just, horses kept dying.
Yeah, horses there was too dying. Much horse abuse.
Horses, right? So,
listen, I used to draw horses on my trapper keeper. I was one of those girls growing up.
You were... Well, that's so funny to me. Horses!
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's Ferrelio, it's Lindsay Ferrelio.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
So anyway, but we're not talking about horses. We're talking about pigs. So they this is like this marvelous prosciutto. And so then they sit down to have a tasting. And Kevin just immediately starts mansplaining as if none of these people are, like, top-level chefs who have ever had prosciutto before. He's like, you should always slice it and use it as is. Don't cook it. Don't do anything else to it. Am I right? I'm like, they know how to handle this.
Yeah.
There's an aroma of hazelnuts and sweetness to it.
Aroma.
Love the aroma joke.
That's great material there. Can I borrow that hazelnuts aroma?
So the lady's like, never, ever cook it. I'm like, oh, can't wait to watch Kevin cook it. Yeah. You know that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, he basically said, you never cook it right. And she's like, yeah, you don't want to do that. And then I was like, oh, I bet he's not going to cook it and he's going to get in trouble for it. I was excited. Yeah. I was hoping that would happen.
Yeah, I think that is what happens, right?
Yeah.
So then Voltaccio is like, I love the restraint. Any aromas anybody wants to talk about? And Melissa's like, we're used to ham of the States. It's overly salty and overly smoked. It's disgusting.
When I was a kid, I would just take salty ham and cover it with that grated Parmesan from a plastic jug. Man, life was hard.
Melissa's really dissing her mom's whole childhood, you know, feast.
Seriously. So Kevin's talking about how he starts talking about already his inspiration. He's like, I would love to find a fresh leg of pork, roast it and carve it and serve it with ham on ham. I'm like, wow, what a novel idea that you haven't done every single challenge. What's next? You're gonna turn it into a ball?
No kidding. It's like Kevin's own special little section of Pornhub.
Ham on ham.
So let's go to Parma, do some shopping. Yes. So they go touring the city, and it's, of course, gorgeous. And Stephanie just gets lost in a vegetable market, which is really cute.
I know.
And then Voltaggio's like, whoa, I'm excited. The quality here is so high. Obviously, I don't speak the language, but I can recognize ingredients. This is cat food.
You know what I have to do? I don't speak the language, but what I can do is I can figure out what the food is based on its... Wait. Aroma.
It's amazing to finally see a city that's built around ingredients. It's like, have you never heard of Candyland, you ingrate?
Oh, I guess you've never been to Smart and Final.
So Stephanie is super inspired, and she is talking about how she wants to make a sweet cabbage because it has a cabbagey funk to it. Okay, this is the time where I just start writing stuff down.
Yeah,
I've written
too.
A monologue She's here. Basic, as I read through it, I don't need to have written this.
Yeah, it was actually kind of like they're walking around these markets. They look beautiful. I mean, it was kind of food porn. And Stephanie wants to do a vegetable forward dish, even though it's a very meat centric region. And so she's talking about that. And then she's like, well, I'm lost, because as you said, she just gets lost. And then Kevin ruins beans because he's like, I love beans. And there's a dish called pasta fagioli. It's pasta and beans. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's like
pasta fagioli.
There's a dish called like spaghetti and meatballs. You may have heard of it. It's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They serve it at like the Olive Garden, dude.
My dishes are very personal. Very, very personal. Of course he would go for beans, because if he's not going to make a ball, he's going to have round things that, you know, in his food.
Yeah, he went from a meatball to pasta fagioli. I was like, is minestrone taken? What's going on? He's like, I feel like my dishes are really personal. I would agree, Hack.
Remember my grandma whose house was the home of Country Captain Airlines? Remember that?
So he's like, hey Stephanie, just doing my thing, but I can't read anything on these labels. And she's like, yeah, that's cat food. I'm crushing it over here.
So today I've served you a fancy feast. It's actual fancy feast from Italy.
Make it into a ball and you're out, loser.
So Melissa decides that she's gonna blend Chinese and Italian together, and she's gonna do a Chinese XO sauce. Mm-hmm. And that has cured meat in it.
Yeah,
so of course I'm getting
Beyonce.
Scared.
Mm-hmm. XO, right?
Yeah. And she's like, I want to push myself. And then they show her standing in front of a scooter. And I just feel bad because her dreams were dashed last week of her, like, winning the money to get a scooter and drive around the countryside with a hot chick on the back.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And Brian Voltaggio, I thought there was going to be a quick fire today. So that way he could, like, you know, manifest his dream of finally winning a quick fire. But they just... The editors were pretty cruel to Brian Voltaggio because they basically teased it along all season long. He was just looking for his first quickfire win, and then he just never does. It's just like, no, that dream will never come to fruition.
Yeah, and his whole like, I've done this more than anybody else. I've done more challenges on Top Chef than anyone else. Like, I'm going to win, damn it. I just kind of want him not to win just because of that, because I feel like he feels like he's done it the most, so he... deserves it the most.
I actually don't get entitlement from him. I just feel like he feels like, you know, I'm getting more of a vibe like, hey, I've done this a lot, I have all this experience, so like I should be equipped to do this. But I don't think that he's... I feel like actually I'm getting more entitlement from Kevin, who's like, it's my responsibility to be in the finals, you know. But either way, I mean, I like Brian Voltaggio. I actually do like him.
The responsibility to ham lovers everywhere. I'm in the finals. What will all the grandfathers who run airlines think if I don't win this?
All right, chefs, we have one more stop today. We're going to... It's a Michelin star restaurant. Come on.
We will stay overnight, and tomorrow you cook there. And Kevin's like, this is like the old days where you sleep at your restaurant.
Did I say restaurant? I meant business class in Grandpappy's Airlines.
So they get to the hotel, and the chef owner, Massimo, welcomes them. He's like, we have beautiful surprise for you. And then they go down to this creepy dark cellar where there's just dead pigs hanging everywhere, wrapped up.
Beautiful surprise for you. You are the dinner. Goodbye.
The Blair Pig Project.
So downstairs is Culato di Zibello, which is the most rare and prestigious ham in the entire world. More prestigious than you, Gail. Can you believe it?
The cellar is seven. By the way, the cellar is 700 years old. Like, that's crazy. Whoa, that's crazy, okay? That cellar is from 1320. That's like the Middle Ages, okay?
Okay. Kevin's like, this place is fascinating. They're aging them for some of the best chefs in the world. I'm an airplane.
I had visions of little, like little Kevin, like doing the airplane thing, zooming around, knocking all the hams off. And they're like, someone get this little boy out of the cellar.
My daddy owns this airline and you're gonna pay.
He's licking all the hams like they're lollipops.
I like these lollipops. No, no, that was meant for Mario Batali.
Oh, God. So they have a good old-fashioned ham tasting.
Yeah, they eat a meal under a ham ceiling, in fact. There's like a ceiling of ham over them.
And Kevin is just doing his Parmesan cheese thing.
Even worse.
He's just eating it so dramatically.
There is a big flavor. There, let me make it feel my tongue. I feel my... let me breathe it in. I'm breathing from my mouth. My mouth air that is now wrapped around that ham. Anyone have a glass I can swirl this ham around in?
It's really special to experience these things that most American chefs never get to try, but I guess I do now. So, anyway, I want my dinner, Daddy.
He closes his eyes while he eats it. I'm like, oh, God. And then they start playing porn music.
Yeah, it's a classic Bravo move. They love doing that. So they're having all this like amazing food, and they have this like ravioli and a pheasant bladder that looks cray cray, but like amazing. And they start to like reminisce. It's like the end of the Big Brother season when they have to fill time, so they have to be like, "Hey, remember that one time that thing something happened?" So Melissa, they're talking about their favorite moments of the season, and Melissa loved the challenge where they went up to Big Bear and they like ziplined and all that stuff. And then Kevin is like,
I like that Jonathan Gold challenge. I like that. That was the first big ball I made for this season and it really set the tone. And I just can't believe how many people he really touched. Wow.
I really enjoyed bringing in our family because watching my sister make that croissant fish was like hilarious. And it proves that I'm not the biggest loser in the family. So,
And Melissa tells us that basically, you know, her family would be so proud of her if she won, and that like since the first season of Top Chef, when her dad used to basically not approve of her being a chef or a lesbian, and now he actually goes to her restaurants and says that he's proud of her. So when Melissa started saying that stuff, I got really nervous that she was gonna get chopped. I was like, uh oh, like they give us a lot of close calls with Melissa with these family flashbacks.
Yeah, they've got to make it kind of dramatic, you know, because she's just going to win this whole thing, which, thank God, I hope she does.
I hope so.
Also, you said lesbian, which I really liked because lesbian? That's like a thespian, but that's a lesbian.
It's
like a mixture. Yeah,
lesbian. Lesbian. So now it's the next morning. They're all waking up at this restaurant. And did you mean to wrestle Gail Simmons out of her beauty rest? Look at Gail walking in the backyard.
Gail is officially owned by NBC Universal. Welcome, Peacock.
I hope everyone enjoys NBC Universal's new streaming service called Gail, also known as Peacock.
You just have to pay it a few Fritos a month.
We'd like to introduce you to Gail, the restaurant's resident peacock and the only peacock in all of Italy that actually eats potatoes.
So they're watching the animals from their windows at this restaurant farm thing. And Stephanie's like, wow, look at those pigs. You know, if I had a farm, it would be a no-kill farm. That's for sure. Can't wait to cook these pigs.
Exactly. Yeah, she's feeling very happy. And she says that when she cooks happy, her food tastes better. So that's good.
Not me. I find that misery lends itself more to good food than happiness. When I'm happy, I just have a salad. Who needs that? It's being miserable that tastes delicious. Let's be honest, people.
That's a very good point. So now they go to the kitchen. Now they're in the kitchen, and they have 3 hours to prep their premium secondi. And so now they're starting to cook. And Steph, she's going to be making a prosciutto ragu for the premi. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it sure is.
Sure is. And then sure is exciting. Actually, you know what's funny is that right before I watched Top Chef, I myself also made a ragu. So I was actually feeling really happy that I I tended to my craving ahead of time.
Like, I was like, ooh, I'm watching this. I have a craving for Ragu, but I just made it and ate it. Wow, that worked out really well. Okay, that's all settled.
This show really does brainwash me every time I watch it. I went straight to Whole Foods and got some fresh pasta. You know how you can buy, like, the...
Yeah.
Fresh pasta. Oh, my God. And I ate it all. Okay, so Voltaggio's making something with a guitar. Why am I saying that?
It's called Chitara, which is the only pasta that's named after a Thundercat, which I think is really cool.
Oh, well, there you go. He's like, I can't think of a better dish to showcase the fonduta. It shows a technique of aerating the cheese. And I was like, oh, no, don't try and pull some foamy shit out here. I don't think they're going to like that.
No. And so he's the first one to break into the Parmesan. And so he's like cutting the cheese open and he's like, it's like a lot harder. And he's like, oh, they make it so easy. Oh, if it weren't for this hilarious aroma coming out, I'd be crying right now. And they just cut to Michael Voltaggio just like touching a Parmesan with his finger and it just splits in half like an English muffin. Oh, I guess it's just easier for me.
Look, you cut the cheese. You cut the cheese.
Melissa is rolling out an anolini that she's going to serve in brother. Mm-hmm. And her secondi is going to be scallop.
Yeah. And she's going to make an Asian twist with Japanese ingredients and stuff like that. So she's also working on a thing called a raft, which I hadn't heard of before. I learned something new. But like a raft is like a ball of something that makes a broth clarified or something and something and something else.
Yeah, so I didn't get thing. That. I didn't know what it was either.
It's like a and, thing that takes 45 Kevin, minutes to do.
Kevin is doing a white bean-filled pasta. And he's like, I have two types of Parmigiano. And I'm using the whey inside and the French on top. It's going to be amazing. And there's just flies landing all over Kevin's face during his scenes, which cracks me up. I mean, there's flies in this whole thing. But yes. They're just like, they're all over his face.
Yeah, there was like a shot of the judges later on. I think it was Evan Funke who was just like talking, and there was like a moth just like fluttering around his face.
I know, Padma's all Westworld. She doesn't even feel them crawling on her eyeball and stuff.
54 minutes!
And yeah, Kevin's just again saying this bullshit stuff. That's like, I'm putting a Parmesan whey in the ravioli and fresh Parmesan on top, and it's going to be very complimentary to the beans, Daddy.
The most difficult part is cooking the porcupa, because it's challenging to get that exactly right. And there is no shortage of talent left, including me. I won lots of challenges this season, and I expect to make it to the finale.
It's my responsibility. So, yeah, so, yeah, this is just more cooking. And then at one point, Melissa turns and... She turns and asks Steph a question, which is like the most Stephanie question you could ever ask Stephanie. She goes, hey, Steph, why are you going with cabbage today? it's a question that like she goes to the doctor's office. So why are you going with cabbage today, Stephanie?
Yeah. And Stephanie's like, well, cabbage is a super humble ingredient. So she's just shoving prosciutto in the cabbage chunks. And then Melissa's like, oh, shit. Oh, I asked a silly question, and now look, I don't cuss often, but if I do, you can bet it's going to be in the kitchen.
She broke her raft. Broke her raft and has to start over. So I was, like, very panicked, but they didn't really give it a commercial break, so I knew it would be okay. So then Kevin's like, the most difficult part of the secondi is cooking the pork copa. It's not that hard to cook, especially if you're someone like me who's got a pig tattoo on their arm, but it is challenging to get it exactly right. You know, I won a lot of challenges this season, and I fully expect to make it to the finale. Oh, I guess you just said that part, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's going
to take a lot
times.
Of special things to make this right. You know, a lot of chefs on here have had a pig in some form tattooed on them, but have they had a pig that is very close to a Confederate flag? Because that's very important. Okay, those two things need to go.
Does he have a Confederate flag?
Yeah, he has like a skull with a. He has a skull wearing a cap, and the cap has a Confederate flag on it. Oh. Someone tweeted it at us. I was like, "Damn,
not into it at all.
No, sir. It was some article about, wow, look at all his tattoos. He's got such amazing tattoos. And I'm looking it over and I'm like, great. That's a great tattoo, Kevin.
Thanks. Yep, not into it. Don't like it. Remove that shit. So then, anyway, now the judges enter. So the judges are showing up, and Gail is back in her patterns. Proud to say. I'm sure you noticed it too, Ronnie, right?
Yeah, she's a peacock.
Yeah, polka dots, teal and black, color blocking. It was a full Gail peacock explosion.
It was like after denying me, like, the second half of the season, her terrible patterns, she came in, like, the Oscar dress of terrible patterns. It was, like, gold dots and, like, ruffles and, you know, the see-through silk. I was like, oh, Gail, you didn't forget me after all. Thank you.
So now the judges sit down, and then the chefs are finishing up their stuff, and Melissa's broth is fine. And Padma... she sits down, and of course she's just so eager to show up that she speaks Italian. She's like, Massimo, grazie, it's bellissimo. That means thank you, it's beautiful.
Massimo, just wanted to say snickerundo, snickerundo, that Snickers girl. So I just wanted to watch Gail get all excited. And even in languages she doesn't understand, she can still get excited for a good old fashioned Snickers bar. Am I right, Gail?
Antipasti, linguine, lasagna, tortellini. Am I right, Italian chefs?
She's like, well, I'd like you to meet your guest, one of your guest judges, Evan Funky. That's an aroma.
Funky aroma. Evan will not only be judging you, but he'll also be beating you up afterwards.
So the first to serve, they serve in pairs, and Melissa are first with their primi.
Yes. So Stephanie serves her fettuccine with prosciutto and ragu, and it's finished with Parmesan. And Padma's eating it. She's like, Or as we say in English,
Less M's. Less M's, and it's on a different note. But you get the idea. Hey, Massimo.
Look at Gail. She's trying to do it, but that ragu is coming out of her nose. Bless her heart.
And then Melissa has made a chicken Annalini with an Asian twist. And the guest, Josh Funky, is that his name?
Not Evan Funky.
Evan Funky. Sorry, I know someone named Josh Funky. Evan Funky. He doesn't even look at them. He's like, just leave your dishes and go, losers, go.
Yeah, he's like, so he thinks the brodo was interesting, and Gail really tastes the parm in it. And Tom does one of his, like, his weird understated comments where you don't know if he's, like, praising it or not. He's like, you know, Melissa's it's a good plate of food. It's a good plate of food. Does that mean it's, does it live up to expectations, or is it sort of underwhelming? I guess that's for you to find out. Just a good plate of food, you know?
And Gail makes a very Gail comment. She's like, you can really taste the Parmesan. I'm like, yes, Gail. And Funky is like, it was a very delicate ouzu. And then Stephanie, so they start talking about Stephanie now. And one of the guys like, well, you know, the flavor is strong or sweet, but she did an incredible job mixing the two.
And Gail goes, I love that she used prosciutto in her ragu. It has such a robust savoriness. And Padma just goes, you would say sfizioso, dummy.
And then a lady judge is like, it is like touching the Capella Cucian with new colors. Both very brave. Very, very brave.
Exacto. Exacto. So, anyway, let's see who else comes out with some sfizioso. Am I right, Italians? Am I right, sfizioso? Gail, try to say it after me. Okay, take the potato out of your mouth. Okay, now put your lips together and say sfizioso. Okay, and try not to spit all over the table. Thanks.
So Brian and Kevin are next with their bleemies. And I just wrote, Voltaccio has a ton of foam. Oh, I hate foam. I hate it. It's disgusting. It looks like spit on a sidewalk. Stop serving it.
So they come out. And Kevin has, like, the Parmesan, and he is, like, going up to everyone and, like, aggressively taking, like, a giant spoonful of Parmesan, just dumping it on everyone's dish. And he's doing it in this way where he's, like, crouched over, like, excuse me one moment, I'm just going to get in there right now. Okay, there we go. It's like, okay, like, we know you're there. And everyone
there's 15
is just
judges, dude. Like, seriously, this is going to take forever. It's going to make everything cold. And he's serving the, like, super fine-grated Parmesan, so it looks like the cheap processed stuff that we're used to.
And everyone just shooting him nasty looks, especially Padma. Padma just staring at him like, if I wanted to have all these white flakes in my dish, I would have sat next to Gail's hair. Am I right? Am I right?
I would have given Gail's head a shake, okay? And she sounds so annoyed, and she goes, hi, Brian. She's like so annoyed that she just got cheesed all over. And he's like, well, I made a chitara with soft egg yolk and Parmesan fondue.
And Kevin's like, and I made you a raviolo with cannelli beans and the Parmesan whey and ragu of beans topped with the 36-month red cow Parmesan. I'm like, you know what? You don't have to elaborate that it was, yours was topped with the 36-month red cow Parmesan. They all have the 36-month red cow Parmesan. You all have the same wheel. Unless I'm wrong.
So Tom's
it
like,
just bothered me. He kept saying that as if his Parmesan was like somehow different from everyone else's.
Yeah.
The rest of them had barn cows. Ah, it's red cow. Red cow Parmesan. Okay.
So they start eating.
He would have a red cow.
What, did he just shave one of those like mini Bond bells? Is that what he did? So, Evan, I don't know if you noticed this, by the way, because we just love, as already previously mentioned, we just love pointing out chef tattoos. As Evan Funke was eating, I don't know if you noticed, he had a little tattoo on his like forearm right by the wrist that said Parma. Not the worst offender. It's certainly not as bad as the mise en place that what's his name was. Remember that guy? Loving.
Oh, God, mise en place. Mise en place was the worst one, and Hosea with his bacon tattoo was pretty bad, too, I have to say.
Yeah.
Did Hosea also have the mise en place? Who was the mise en place?
His brother Loving or something like that? Brother.
Oh, Brother Love.
Ugh. Brother Love. He had the mise en place. Like, it's like,
no, life. Brother Luck. Brother Luck.
Yeah, Brother Luck. God. But Evan Funke is just at Parma. Like, yeah, I've been to Parma. I know about Parma. I know about cheese, and I know about prosciutto, and I cook with both of them. And yes, I do amazing things with them. But as a reminder, Parma.
Parma. Parma, guys. So Tom thinks that Brian had the best pasta out of everybody. And the lady who just said that the other two were so special was like,
I didn't appreciate the Parmigiano treatment. It's very artificial for me. Red cow. Come on.
Okay, well, as the only person at this table whose name is automatically auto-corrected to Parma, may I ask Tom what you think? Because by the way, that's true. Every single time I try to type in Padma, it says Parma. I don't know why my phone loves autocorrecting to Parma, but it does.
You're fancy. I think fancy autocorrect phone. Really shows how stupid the person with a phone is, you know? Because like if I put fa, your probably says like Fafarelli or something, and mine's like fart. You know,
there's only two words that my phone will not autocorrect. Te instead of the. And if I write birthday, which happens a huge amount of times, it will not switch that to birthday. Oh, and also, for some reason, I wind up often typing in Holly Wolf instead of Hollywood. And it will not change Holly Wolf either.
You need a dog. That's what it's telling you.
Yeah.
It's telling you.
Put a little love in your heart.
So, so anyway, they hate that Kevin went and, like, put up all that Parmesan on their dish. And there's one Italian guy who's like, Brian's dish. Oh, they also didn't think Brian's was very good either. They thought it was, like, fine, but this one guy was like, Brian's dish is devoid of any love or passion. The dish is flat.
And Tom goes, whoa.
And he goes, yes, completely flat, lifeless, dead. Deceased got the piano, okay, dead.
And Gail's like, you know, I think that Kevin's beans and Brodo were actually quite beautiful. Oh, please. This is the woman who thinks an arrangement of M&Ms is quite beautiful, too.
But it was a pinch of salt too much. And she's like, he did not need a heaping tablespoon of cheese on this very Parmesan-y plate.
It's I like love a- when Padma gets so furious. It cracks me up.
I know. This very Parmesan-y plate. Did you mean to add more Parmesan to a Parmesan-y plate?
So I got worried because we go back to the kitchen and Stephanie's like, I feel very good about mine. I mean, it went amazing, but I have a whole other dish. But you know what? It's good. I'm having a really, really good day.
I was like, oh, she's done. Mm-hmm. She's done.
So Melissa and Stephanie serve next. So Melissa serves a scallop with the prosciutto and the XO sauce, and Stephanie serves the cabbage that's been braised with prosciutto and fonduta and chestnuts.
Yeah.
And
So then the chefs are talking about it. Did you like Melissa's?
Did you like the dish that Melissa gave you? Or are you just a complete idiot?
He really liked the Chinese mix, like the add-in, the Chinese saltiness and chili and butter and all that. And Pat was like, I was afraid it would overpower the prosciutto, but it didn't.
Yeah, you know, when she said she was making an XO sauce, I was afraid it would just overpower everything, much like all the shoulder pads Gail's been wearing this season. Am I right? Am I right? Bless her heart.
And Funky is like, the cabbage was my favorite. The parma between the leaves. Now that was smart. Anybody looking at my wrist? Anybody? Parma.
I've been here before. Parma. Gail thinks that Stephanie is basically doing some of her best cooking today. Oh, really? That's so funny. It's like I was telling my dear friend, Ali Wong, you're doing some of your best comedy today, too. Sort of like the same thing, right? Just less famous.
And then back in the kitchen, Kevin is checking his pork, and he's like, oh, buddy! Yeah, it's absolutely perfect! I want to slap somebody!
Yeah. And Brian's, like, being a maniac with his plates. He has, like, all his plates down, and he's just, like, touching them as if he's doing some sort of, like, weird survivor challenge. Like, if you're, like, the last one touching your plates, you're eliminated.
Yeah. I was like, well, if you've made it this far, this is the one you don't want to mess up. So they go to serve, and Voltaggio is serving his bass wrapped in the parma ham. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin is giving a fresh pork choppa. Oh, no, fresh pork coppa and heirloom coppa. Apples.
Which is probably the same thing.
And he's like, pork on pork. Now that makes me happy.
Yeah. And Gail's like, I love the apples, and I love the applesauce. Oh, congratulations, Gail. You have the palate of a kindergartner. Wow, so glad we brought you along.
And then Padma is just over there licking each individual finger for some reason.
Yeah, she has, like, the sauce on her pinky. Like, she's so reluctant to even dip a spoon into it. She's like, I'm just going to put my pinky finger in it because maybe some of my own natural pinky flavor will improve this awful applesauce.
But the challenge was to use prosciutto, and he just used it as an afterthought, if you ask me. I mean, it's just an afterthought. What is it, raining outside and you're trying to protect the bass? What's going on?
And Evan's like, and he also sliced the prosciutto very, very thick and oddly enough into the shape of the American Airlines logo. I don't get it.
And the guy who's harsh is like, yes, it is too tough and it doesn't invite you to eat it. And the lady goes, yeah, it's not so good.
It's like going into the Sistine Chapel and hearing it is closed for reconstruction. And then you walk out and you get run over by the Pope Mobile.
They liked Brian's dish. Actually, I guess they were talking about Kevin's dish. Okay, take all those mean things we just said and apply them to Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
So now they... on to Brian. I started with Brian. Sorry, I was wrong. Sorry. They move on to Brian's dish. And Padma's, and by the way, while they keep dissing Kevin's dish, Tom's eyes are popping out of his head. He's like, whoa, these people are really, really mean. They're like, it's not a good. It doesn't invite you to eat it. His tattoos are stupid.
Well, but also all their critiques, both positive and negative, and we saw this last week too, are so like... poetic.
It's like a lady that you invite to go to a dance and she comes in the most beautiful red dress, but you are only wearing tank top and shorts, You have to treat her with respect,
So they move on to Brian, and Padma's like, well, his dish I liked better.
Yeah.
He's basically the Gale of Gale and Nilu. You know, it's not great, but at least it's better than a Nilu. Am I right, Gale?
Kind of makes me want to make a better meal, put it in a box, and mail it to this meal.
So then the same guy's like, good technique, but no soul.
Yeah.
Tom's like, damn.
Tom's like, well, this is crazy. Now I know what it must feel like to be my son hearing all my criticisms.
I've learned something. Can't wait to go home and hug my son. Just can't wait to go hug my son.
So then, then Evan feels like the pesto was just not aggressive enough. He wanted to be like big garlic, big basil, just in your face. But it was like too subtle.
And you can never tell what that funky guy's going to say, because he's like, they were up against a very difficult challenge. It was a beautiful experience. I was like, what? Yeah, like,
oh.
How are you coming out with that? You're so grumpy. Jeez. I thought he was going to be like, and they're all terrible. This just sucks. Take it off the air.
Well, one thing that I want to say is that I'm sure this would taste a lot better if I didn't have a small moth flying around my head at the moment. Kind of distracting my taste buds.
I'd just like to say Amrop. That's Parma. I was reading my tattoo upside down. So.
I'm going to read my tattoo. It says, still famous. Wow, what an honor.
Mm-hmm. So they go back to the stew room. The chefs go back to the stew room and there's like plates set out for them. And Melissa goes, wow, more meat.
Well, that's my favorite. Meat and meat and meat.
It's like a quarter booth in a porno shop in here. Meat on meat!
So at the judge's table, Tom's like, you know, I thought the food tonight was across the board very good. Except for half the food, which was actually not very good at all. But the other half was really good.
Well, there were two chefs that stood out. The one with the bad tattoo and the peacock over there. But out of the chefs who were competing, I would say that Melissa and Stephanie did the best.
And Stephanie's like, me? She's like, yes, I said you. I know, it's strange.
Don't congrats, normally address poor person. Does anyone have a dollar to throw at her head?
Now play the saxophone or something. Earn that dollar.
Now, you do realize that you two are in the finale, so take a moment and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Do it. All do right. it.
Now, do it. Yep. Take a moment now if you would like to direct your eyes at Kevin's face while he pretends to smile while he is crushed, visibly crushed right now. There he is. Look at that face. Look at it crumbling. Oh, it's real good. It's crumbling like that Parmesan he just heaped on top of our plates.
The more we get you to stand here and relish your win, the more we get to watch Brian and Kevin slowly break down in front of our eyes. So,
I don't know what Brian is more shocked about, the fact that he's in the bottom two, or that Michael has actually just re-entered the competition and is already in the finals. Welcome back, Michael. Oh, and your sister's here too. Wow, that's amazing. So two out of three Voltagios are guaranteed to spot in the finals already. Wow.
Is that a croissant fish? Did you aerate it? Then you win, croissant fish lady.
So Gail's like, you know, I love the prosciutto in that ragu. It's like a flavor I hadn't had in that way. And trust me, she's had all the flavors, if you know what I'm saying.
And Tom's like, well, fantastic. And Funky's like, what stood out to me was the cabbage. Cabbage can be overpowering and salty sometimes, but you showed a delicate hand. Spectacular.
And then Padma just turns and goes, Gail, what did you think about Melissa's dishes today? Did you even have time to taste it before you scarfed them all down?
Well, the first course was presented in such a respectful and elegant way. I loved every last slurp.
And she means it.
Her favorite song is Every Slurp You Take. It's a Weird Al parody off of The Police. Didn't really get much traction except with Gail.
It's like, what's that music? Can we turn it down? Can we turn down the slurpify? We're trying to judge a TV. Oh, it's Gail.
Every slurp Gail takes, every slurp Gail makes, every slurp in her face, every slurp with a spoon, Gail's eating you. That was comedy, Ali Wong.
And Padma was like, wow, the broth was just so clear with such depth. And Evan, as a guest judge, this falls to you. And he's like, well, this is an extraordinary place, but the shining star today. Are you still with us? I'm here. I'm just taking. Do you move a little more quickly, Parma man? Melissa.
Oh, wow, Melissa. This is your third win in a row. You're really on a roll. No, Gail, there's not real rolls here. She's just on a roll. Calm down. Don't have rolls.
So did you see how furious Kevin looked? Oh
my god, yeah,
delicious. His eyes like a light, like an evil light came on behind his eyes, and he was trying to smile, but it was really tight, and he started turning bright red.
Yeah, he was right. It was like that, like what we saw at Restaurant Wars. He's been able to keep like a lid on it all season long, but it was coming out right there in that moment, that like that anger that he keeps throttled up inside.
Yeah.
Or bottled up.
Melissa wins, yeah. So Padma's like, Brian, Kevin, you gave us so much in those plates, but one of you will be going home.
And Evan's like, Brian, out of all of you, your pasta was cooked the best. But when you take a 36 parm, there are these salt crystals that pop. And, you know, when you aerate them, you just... I just can't help but look at my Parma tattoo. It's just so good. That's one thing that'll never be aerated, my tattoo.
Sorry. No, so Padma's like, but yeah, a lot of the Italian chefs said there's no heart and soul in this dish. Now, I know that was a hard thing for me to relay to you, Voltaggio. It was very difficult. So let me say it again. You have no heart or soul. If there was a piano here and there was a child who'd been taking piano lessons, they would fail because there's no heart and soul. Do you understand what I'm saying, Kevin? If Tom Hanks was in Big, he would never have had that beautiful moment with the old person because there's no heart and soul to play the giant piano with. Do you understand?
Let me guess. As a child, you learned piano by playing chopsticks instead. Am I right? Never quite figured out the heart and soul thing. I know that's very difficult to not have the heart or soul, or as I like to call them, the Michael Voltaggio and croissant fish sister, heart and soul. So I guess that means, I don't know what you are, but you don't have it.
And he looks like he's going to cry. He's like, oh, wow, well, that dish did come from the heart because I wanted to take a dish I enjoy and try to push the envelope with food and do something new. I'm trying not to cry.
I know. Please, it was a devastating critique, and I was just telling my dear friend Jonathan Waxman about how they said that you don't have heart or soul. How devastating. I would never even want to hear those words again. I mean, terrible that they would say that you have no heart and soul, Brian.
So Tom was like, well, moving on to Kevin. Kevin, there was a lot to like. And Kevin's like smiling way too hard. Like he's going to lose his molars.
Yeah, he's getting the malarkey monkey chimes.
Yeah, he does have that like kind of serial killer smile.
Yeah.
And Gail's like, I mean, there was just so much cheese on top of every raviolo, and that's all we got. He's like,
Stop the presses. Did Gail Simmons just complain about too much cheese? Wow, something is going on in this Italian cellar.
And the guest judge, Funky, is like, it was delicious, but because the parm was too salty, it completely ruined the whole thing.
She's like, and Voltaggio, your fish dish was a masterpiece. It was very soft on soft, though. And I missed the textural component.
Yeah, and then Evan's like, yeah, and the pesto fell flat. Like, it just needed garlic. It needed to be more assertive, you know? So then Padma then turns to Kevin and says, I love that you did pork and apples. What an original idea to use with pork. Pork and apples, never been done before. I'm so glad you did it. The only thing that was missing was it being in ball shape.
It was a deconstructed ball. You might notice that I had some beans that I mushed up and an apple. Okay, it's called deconstruction, people, but whatever.
I love that you brought this to this table in this place. You brought a very simple pairing to a legendary restaurant. I love that you did that so we could laugh about it afterwards. But it did eat dry and tough.
And then we get some classic Tom Splaining where he's talking to professional chefs, but he talks to them like they're fucking idiots who have never been in a kitchen. He's like,
well, you know, the problem was... when you take pork and you sear too much on one side, when you over-sear and then you let it rest, the juices don't go all the way back out to the edges of the meat because they're so seared. Do you understand?
And Kevin's like,
Now I know that seems like sort of like a very basic lesson that you guys all should have mastered, but you also did just serve us applesauce, so I'm not really sure what level of competency we're talking about here. So I just want to put that out there.
And the prosciutto was an afterthought.
And Kevin just cocks his head. Like, he does the malarkey head cock. Like, excuse me, come again. Come again.
And he's about to burst out of his body, right? And he's like,
well, today's cook went really well, and I was happy with it.
And then Padma raises her eyebrows really big, like, uh-oh, Kevin's going there. And he goes,
it was the most soulful mood I have made since I have been here.
And Padma raises her eyebrows again.
Like, I'll be the judge of that poor person.
I love that they just keep cutting to Padma raising her eyebrows while scared.
I took a poll of our dear friends at San Pellegrino, and 5 out of 5 San Pellegrino friends said that they hate your food, so there.
And Kevin's like, well, I was happy with it, and at that point in my life, that is all I really care about.
Like, okay,
you know what I care about? You getting on my face.
Yeah, Padma's like, okay, well, thank you so much. If only your food had had that much fire inside. Am I right?
By the way, I can't stand when he said, today's cook went really well. Cook, like, I hate, it's something that happens in board games too. When people talk about teaching a board game, they say, all right, is everyone ready for the teach? I'm like, I just can't stand both the teach and the cook. It's not the proper use.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's, how was the cook?
How was the cooking? How was the cooking? That's what it should be. It just really, it's a bee in my bonnet, okay?
All right, chefs. All right, judges. Okay, the stupid chefs are gone. This is the part that I hate. When I have to talk to Gail. Okay, Gail, you have the floor. No, I didn't say get on the floor. I'm saying you have the floor.
Someone help Gail up.
She's rolling around in the leftover Parmesan.
Kevin and Voltaggio look like they are both about to start sobbing, and it's hilarious, because whenever somebody else loses, they're not like, oh, I'm so sorry for you, you okay? They're like, oh, we won, oh, again, oh. And now they look they're about to sob. It's so funny.
Yeah, Brian's just like, he's just like sniffing around. He's like, oh, I'm just trying to find a aroma to cheer me up. There's got to be a summer aroma around here somewhere. Oh, found one.
And Kevin just sits there smiling and saying, and no congrats to the girls, by the way. Not a one.
Yeah, the girls. And the thing is, the girls have to sit there and look morose because it'd be mean to like celebrate in front of the guys.
Yeah, that's what makes me crazy. Like, the guys win and they're like, yeah, we did it. And then the girls win and they're, you know, they have to like sit there and pretend they're sad for the guys. Such babies.
Yeah, I know.
So Tom's like, you know, at this level, it's a bunch of technical mistakes. I don't know if I mentioned this, but if you take a piece of pork and you sear it too much, and then you leave it.
We know, Tom. All right. Just get through this.
And Evan is like all mad that Brian did a foam. So speaking to your heart there, Ronnie, he's basically like, why would you denature something that like so much to make it look cool? Why would you do that? And Gail.
That's exactly why. You just answered your own question, sir.
Mm-hmm. And Gail's like, I was smitten by Kevin's beans. Oh, well, of course you were. Little known fact, Gail actually took a cannelloni bean to the prom. That's right.
And the judge is like, yeah, but his raviolo felt flat.
She's like, well, the challenge was Parmigiano-Reggiano, and they both failed at showcasing the ingredients. Yeah, but to me, there was a problem with Kevin's pork.
Seared. It was overseared. He mistreated it. It was overseared. Overseared. You know?
And Gail's like, look, we're taking all this time to talk about the pork, and we haven't even mentioned the prosciutto. And he's like, yeah, because he didn't do anything with it. Huh?
Yeah. Zing, you know? And Pat was like, well, while Brian Secundo wasn't perfect, it did utilize the prosciutto better, and at least he didn't top it under a pyramid of Parmesan.
And then back in the stew room, Kevin goes, well, if one of us ends up going home today, it's been real special. What do you mean, if one of you ends up going home? One of you is going to, what do you think, they're going to pull out some special, you know, some special prize for you in the end? This is already your second chance, sir. You're out.
Yeah, seriously. So the chefs come back in. And Tom's like, you know, we all have empathy that you're all here, and we know how difficult it is coming back to this, and just shows what you're made of. Not heart and soul in the case of Brian Voltaggio's case. Just want to put that out there. No heart and soul over there.
So, Kevin and the zombie, it's down to you two. And Voltaggio's just staring straight ahead. He's like, I'm not going to look at them. I will not look at them. Aroma. 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 Kevin, please pack your knives and your pig tattoos and go.
So Kevin's like, all right. All right. So he comes over, and like, even his like departure is annoying because he does like a really exaggerated like that handshake thing where you don't just like shake someone's hand. You like swing your hand out all the way to the right and then like sort of like swoop it in aggressively, like, put her there, you know? I'm like, stop that. Shake normally. Shake normally. And then he gives Padma a kiss on the cheek. She's like, oh dear. The pig man's getting close to my cheek. Oh, no. It's happening. It's all happening.
Yeah, that handshake is like a, it's like a, you're making the other person make an effort to catch the handshake. So annoying.
Yeah.
And then he gives this speech like he won. I guess he just figured, well, I'll just give my winning speech instead. He's like,
I am a fighter, and I believe you have to fight for what you want in life. I wanted to come here, and I've worked really hard, and I fought back, and I won. And I want people who are struggling to know if they keep hope alive, great things can come of it.
I'm like, you know that you lost, right?
Everyone gets a ball. Everyone.
Wow. So,
and that was that.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think that Melissa's going to win because she's on such a roll. But you never know. Brian could sneak it out. And they are giving Stephanie definitely a big underdog story. But I don't think she's going to win. But, I mean, Brian has been faltering a little bit towards the end here as well. But they also, the other thing is that on these shows, they like to do that. They like to make sort of like a, like one of the front runners starts to stumble towards the end and then they get their shit together. So I don't really know. I don't know where it's
going to go. Yeah, because Voltaggio and Melissa are both definitely front runners. So You never know. They might give it to Stephanie. Who was Stephanie friends with the first year she came on?
Wasn't she Grayson, maybe?
Wasn't she friends with somebody who got, well, didn't she audition and she got kicked off right at the beginning?
Yes.
When they had like 50 chefs competing, right, and they had them all do relay races or some shit, and she got kicked off. And then they brought her on another season, right?
Yeah, and then she did better in that season. But then she got kicked off because someone had immunity, and then the other person, I think, maybe had immunity. There was some sort of like bullshit thing where she, it was Nicholas, that awful guy who won, and she had to go home by default, so she sort of got screwed there. And then, because he made a dish, it was like a team thing, and his dish was so bad that their team wound up in the bottom, and then he couldn't be eliminated, so she had to go, or some weird shit like that. But I remember she was friends with Grayson, but I could be wrong.
Well, if any of you remember, please let us know in the comments. And thank you so much for being here, everybody.
Yeah. We're going to do the Top Chef finale on Friday, right?
No, we're doing it on Monday.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Monday. Sorry.
We texted a lot this weekend. Like, what so are we going to do? Because Bravo's schedule is an upheaval. But we are adding, we've already added Selling Sunset to the mix, and we are going to be adding Married to Medicine LA this week as well. So check that out. And, and that's my important speech.
And I won! You won!
You won! You won! At least I had heart and soul.
Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. We will talk to you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.